We thank God. We thank the children's ministry for their awesome work that they are doing. Do you see how suddenly the place has gone quiet? I couldn't wait to get them to their classes, honestly. Oh my. We thank God. And we shall now settle down to hear the word of God. Again, if you have your Bibles, do go to Psalm. So last week we finished the whole series on Psalm chapter 23, the Shepherd series. Please, for those of you who didn't hear, or I feel that it will be a blessing to you, I'm telling you, go back to our website, www.whccag.org, and listen to them. All the messages are there. Every message that is preached here in this building is also there. You can always refresh your memory. You can always re-listen and grow with the Lord. Spend more time hearing more from God that way. So please do go there and listen. We're going to continue from Psalm 23. The end part, let's go to Psalm 23. Then you will get the picture, please. Psalm 23. The writer again says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, and I did touch on this last week. I'm sure I did justice to the whole chapter 6. I really want us to move on from chapter 6. You see, he says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And we want to really begin to spend some good time looking at who is actually able to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So today, the sermon that the Lord has laid on my heart to share with us is actually from Psalm chapter 15. Let's go to Psalm chapter 15, please. Glory to God. And this is only 5 verses. Psalm chapter 15. Are we all there, please? If you are there, can I please see you wave your hand? Glory to God. Thank God. Thank God. So Psalm chapter 15 says, "Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy hill?" Other translations say, "Holy mountain." "The one whose way of life is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on another, who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. And this morning, I'm speaking on the subject, the character that God receives. The character that God receives. You can also say the character of the person that God receives. Let us pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you this morning. We give you glory. We give you honor. We exalt your holy name and we magnify you. Because you are God, you are almighty, you are holy, and you are righteous. In you, there is no evil, and there is no wickedness, there is no bad, for you are good, and your mercies endure forever. Lord, this morning we yield to you and we surrender to you, and we pray that you will lead our time. Father, as I speak to your people, we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus that you will give me clarity of thought, clarity of heart. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will take absolute control and speak to your people. And we pray that your people will hear that which the Father has for us. We pray that you will set our hearts free from ourselves. You will set our hearts free from that which is unwholesome. Oh, from that which is unclean, and that we might be able to receive that which the Father has for us. May any plan of the enemy against anybody here this morning to take away that which God has given us, to hinder us from receiving God's blessings this morning, be canceled and be dealt with in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way. Lord Jesus, have your way. Father, in Jesus' name, have your way, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. I feel like I'm too loud in this speaker here. Thank you. Glory to God. And so we've seen here in this psalm, King David is asking a question. David is asking a question, and the question here is, who may abide in your tabernacle? And so the first part of this sermon is the question presented. Who can come before God? Who can come before God? Who can come to the tabernacle of God? King David says, I would dwell in his house forever, in Psalm chapter 23. But in Psalm 15, he is asking a question, who will dwell in the presence of the Father? Who will come in the presence of the Father? And this morning I'm saying that there is a character. You see, in the eye of King David, as we read this passage, there is a certain kind of person that can dwell in the presence of the Father. And there is a certain kind of person that can come to God, you know, and remain with God. You see, anybody, every person, all of us can come to God. But there is another thing in coming to God, and there is another thing in remaining in his presence. And this morning, it is my prayer, and it's been my prayer throughout the week, that by the time we finish today, we will walk away from here today with a desire to remain in God's presence, to remain with God. And so the question here is this, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? I have so many friends from growing up. There are some of them I don't want to have anything to do with because for some reason, me and them cannot remain friends. Some have been very, very wicked to me. Others, it's just that the way the path they've chosen to go, we cannot remain friends. And it is the same way King David is asking a question here. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? In a sense, David's question here is figurative. You see, the tabernacle, if
those of us who know history, in Deuteronomy, God asked the prophet Moses to build him a tabernacle, somewhere that he will come and meet with his people. And he gave him the outlines, the measurements, everything in building a nice tabernacle, which was a tent in those times, built so that God would come and meet with his people there. And God did that for many years. God did that for many, many, many years. But you see, the tabernacle being a place of worship, there were some people who were appointed by God to actually dwell there, to stay there and take care of the place. They were the priest. But King David wasn't of the priesthood line, so he couldn't stay in the tabernacle. Oh my God. King David couldn't stay in the tabernacle, but he's asking a question, who would? Because he wasn't a priest. He was yearning. There was a yearning in him to remain in God's presence forever, but he wasn't called after the priesthood order, so he couldn't. And so it points here that King David, when he's talking about the tabernacle, is not looking at a physical place. He's looking at a certain kind of place in one's personality, one's being, that they see themselves in the presence of God forever. And so he says, who will abide? You see, if we take some time to really look at the abide here, the word translated abide can be better thought of as a sojourning situation. Sojourn. And so if you begin to look at it that way, a little bit history too. In those times, in the eastern environment, in the ancient days, people lived on the desert and people were always traveling. And so someone would be traveling and they would come to this place where they would go and in some way it's like a hotel, but it's more like going to someone that has a tent and dwelling in their home. And at that moment, when you got there, you were received with open arms, because on the desert, a lot happens. And so when you went to someone's tent to dwell with them, they receive you with open arms, they take care of you, they feed you, and so long as you remain in their house, in their tent, staying with them, you can do anything. They give you the right to do anything that you desire to do in their tent, in their tabernacle. And so then that person becomes a very good host to you. An example is when Abraham was sitting in Genesis, was sitting in front of his tabernacle, and he saw three men coming to him. That was when God went to visit Abraham in person. And he saw them coming. When he saw them coming, he got up and he knelt and he worshipped the Lord and he invited them in. He asked for his best animal to be killed for them, and he gave them tender food and they ate, and he gave them such a beautiful hospitality. He took very good care of them. I have a sermon on that passage called Position Yourself to Intercede. Abraham took so good care of the guest that he first thought in himself, what can I do to bless this man? And then that was when the promise of Isaac was fulfilled, was affirmed by the Lord that it was going to happen. Not just that, when the Lord got up to leave them, he said, he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, can I go and do such a thing without telling my friend Abraham? At that moment, the way Abraham treated God had won God's heart in such a way that he saw Abraham as a friend. He saw him as someone that deserved his praises, someone that deserved his taking care. He basically, at that moment, became so intimate with Abraham because Abraham had shown him an exceptional hospitality. Now, if you look at it that way, this is how King David is looking at it, as in, Lord, who might come into your house where you dwell and be able to abide with you and sojourn with you, as we go about in our world, as we go about in our issues, many, many challenges that we go through, how many of us can actually, who he's asking, can continue a stable relationship with God? A stable relationship with God. Abide in your tabernacle. Abide in your tabernacle. Abide in your tabernacle. So King David is asking this question. And then he himself begins, from his own opinion, trying to answer his own question. But not just that, he asks a second question. Who can come to the hill of God's temple? Who can come to the hill of God's temple? In one sense, David here simply uses the Hebrew terminology of repetition to ask the same question as in the first part of the verse. In the first part, this same question that he's asking here is the same. Dwell is the word here. The word dwell has a more permanent sense than the word abide. You see, now he's moving from, oh, I want to abide in God's presence, to remaining in God's presence. Who will abide? Who will abide in God's presence? Now, I don't want to only come and enjoy the favor that you give me for a while, and for some reason expect me to move on. I mean, I love to host people. But those who have visited me in the evening to some point knows that I cannot go beyond 10 p.m. with you. Like, it's either I get up and I go and lie in bed and you stay downstairs and have a blast time with my wife, or you just pack your things and go. I can't, you see, you will know naturally that I will fall asleep right in front of you. You will find that my talk has changed. And every person that is very close to me knows Kwesi cannot go beyond 10 p.m. So please, when you're planning to come, be careful. Yeah? Come at a time I can spend good time with you. And when it's 10 p.m., I'm hinting to you, you better pack your bag. King David is not saying, I want to come till 10 p.m. King David is not looking at coming for a certain period. He is looking at coming and dwelling forever. Ever. Ever in the presence of God. Because you remember, in Psalm 23, now this man is growing in his relationship with God, and he has begun to see certain good things about God and all that we've preached about on Psalm 23. He says, I want to enjoy this for the rest of my life. Who can enjoy this for the rest of my life? And now, children of God, this is where it becomes crucial for you and I. You see, the goodness and the mercy of God must dwell with us forever. But it is not something that, you see, for God, he's constant. If you are, the Lord Jesus said, whoever is not for us is against us. If you are not against God, You can always have God's presence with you. But there is that kind of person
that can have God's presence with him for the rest of his life. And that is why I have called this the character that God receives. Character. God doesn't look at the person. He created you and I the way we are. He doesn't look at you as, oh, you are a female and you are a black female, or you are an Hispanic female, or you are a white Caucasian female. No, 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 no. Or Asian man. Oh, you have certain looks. You are very built. You remember what Samuel began to do when he went to anoint the next king of Israel? He started by looking at everyone, all the sons of David's father, that Jesse, that came. And he started, oh yeah, this might be the next thing. King said, God said, no, I have rejected him. And he's there looking at their physique, their build. And obviously they were built guys. They were in the military. They were in the military and they were built guys. I like our soldiers. This morning when we were coming, there's a part in Jersey City where they live there. This morning when we were coming, one of them was running by the road. So I look at the body, I was like, man, this guy is built. You know, they were built. God doesn't look at these things. God doesn't look at the person coming. He looks at who, the character, the personality, the spirit, the soul, the heart that you have in wanting to relate with him, in coming to him, in seeking with him. Can you actually come to God? Yes, many of us can come. Many are called, but few are chosen. The word of God says many are called. All of us seated here, all of us have come to church, but I bet you if we do not begin to work on ourselves, if we do not begin to work on our character, the persons that we are, the human beings that we have to be, not of us, not all of us will inherit the kingdom of God. Not all of us will have God's presence with us all the time. There are certain times God will take his presence from us because we have certain characters that he cannot condone in his tent, in his presence, in his being, in his home, in wherever God is. There are things that God cannot keep around him. And so if you do not have the right character, you cannot come before God. You can come before God, but you cannot dwell forever because you have a stinky character. You have a bad character. You have an unaccepted character. God says that I am holy and I hate sin. Sin cannot dwell in the presence of God. But you say, he says, come to me. He's calling you and I. God is calling you and I. Always remember that God is reaching out to you. He wants you to come. He wants you to dwell. Look, because God is willing to have us dwell with him, remain with him in his presence, that is why he came in the first place. The mission of God is to draw humankind to himself, Monsieur Ode, to win the world. It is his heart desire. The great mission of God is to draw all of us close to him. Now, the first step has been won. You and I have accepted the Lord Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior. That is the first hurdle you have crossed. Now, the second hurdle is remain in his presence. You have been able to enter his presence. Now, you got to be able to remain in that holy place of God. And so you come to the second part of this passage where King David begins to address the character. So he said, the character of the one who can come before God. The verse 2 and 3 says, we are looking at his character among his friends and neighbors. We are looking at that person's character among his friends and neighbors. He says, who will dwell? Who will walk upright? Oh, sorry. He walks uprightly and walks righteously and speaks to the truth in his heart. He who does not
backbite with his tongue, for nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. He who walks uprightly. In describing the character of the man who can live in God's presence, David begins with two general descriptions: walks upright and walks righteously. Walks upright and walks righteously. In a sense, David speaks from an old covenant perception. You know, in the old covenant of God, we need to come to him with an upright heart. We need to live a life that is righteous. When you look at Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, the disobedient could not expect blessings, including the blessings of God's presence. You cannot get anything from God, and you will never have God present with you. That is the Old Testament view of this. But the new covenant gives us a different ground for blessing and relationship with God. The finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross under the new covenant, faith and not performance, is basis for blessing. You and I, our basis of blessing is because we have accepted the Lord Jesus as our Lord, personal Savior, and we believe in him, we trust in him, is the basis of our blessing. And so it is not by deeds. It is not by deeds. In talking about it is not by deeds, like the way the Old Testament, King David is talking of deeds here, it doesn't also mean that it is not worth it to live a life that is godly. Basically, Jesus himself said that he has not come to do away with the covenant, but he has come to fulfill it. And so you and I, when we look at scripture, must look at scripture in its entirety. Today we have some Christians who say, oh, we do not need deeds. All we need to do is really, really live by faith, and we go around living by faith. Jesus is my Lord. I love Jesus. But when you look at the person's lifestyle, it is so stinky. The two must go together. You see, you might think that today, as the New Testament believer who is not living in the Old Testament, it should be easy for you and I. But you see, there is more responsibility here. Now, it is about believing in Jesus and honoring the word of God, seeing him as our Lord. And so, it does not only end at doing works so that you can get God's blessings and favor. No, it is not also only about having faith in God and no living a righteous life. The two must go together. You must first accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. When you have finished accepting him as your Lord and personal Savior, now you must begin to be a doer of the word and not a hearer of the word. We have so many people in the church who are hearers of the word. They love it. I bet you some of you are probably sitting there analyzing the way I'm preaching. Oh, this guy is a good preacher. This guy is not a good preacher. That is good. Everything is theoretical. Oh, nice. And then you get up, you leave here, and you go and live your own life. You go and do your own thing. You get up, you read the Bible like a storybook. Oh, I like the stories in here. Oh, look at what David is doing here. And we tell stories, but we do not honor the word of God. You see, to be righteous is that person that is in right standing with God. And God desires to have a righteous person at heart, not in appearances. I like Christians who behave very nice when they have fellow Christians around them. Oh man, this sister is such a holy woman. I like the way she talks. Then when she goes to work, she's a different person over there. oh, this young girl is such a good girl at church. But when she goes out and she's with her friends, whoa, who is the Christian among them? Righteous person must be in good standing with God everywhere you go. Whether in your thinking, whether in your deeds, whether in your speech, it has to be pure and God honoring. Whether in your dressing, the clothes you choose to wear. Oh man, summer is now passing. Men can begin to give some praise to God, eh? The women have started covering up now. We give God the praise. We give God. And even some men. Did you see some of the six packs? Oh my God. I'd be like, man, I am so ashamed of my body. But now, winter has come. We are all wearing jackets. We are all wearing coats. You know, you won't see my belly as big as it was before. You know, it's going to be covered. And you won't tell me I'm not working out anymore. When you see me, I'll be like, oh, I'm just loaded. I'm wearing four things. You know, children of God, it is not by covering. It is not by appearances. It has to be from the heart that we really, really love the Lord God and we want his presence in our life. And so King David goes ahead here. I like to read 1 John to us. 1 John chapter 1 and 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walks in darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. If we say that we have fellowship with him, meaning God, and walks in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Children of God, you see what I'm saying here? The fellowship with God is not only at heart. It also has to be seen the way you live your life. You can lie to me, but you will not be lying to God. The Holy Spirit knows all things. He knows all the truth. He knows all the lie. And so let's begin to really assess ourselves. Let's begin to assess ourselves. And then he goes ahead and says, speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue. Oh my God. David here understood that an upright and righteous life is known by the way someone speaks. As Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Look, I've come to this place in my relationship with God. And please understand, I'm not saying I'm a perfect human being. It doesn't take me long in relating with people. Then I know whether you actually love the Lord or you don't. And as a pastor, it is my heart desire and it is my calling. And it's actually what I love to do, to relate with people and draw them closer to God. So I will never give up on you. But in my mind and in my heart, I know the kind of person you are. Whether you love God or you don't love him. Because the word of God states clearly, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And the writer is saying here that the person speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue. You see, we need to really begin to watch the way we talk. If you cannot say anything to someone in their face and you can say it behind them, that is a backbite. You see me dressed up. I'm the way I am. Sometimes people are like, Jumi is like, babe, you gotta, what the way you talk? I'm not a wishy-washy person. And sometimes, truly, I don't even intend to offend you. I'm just being me, like being honest with you. And then I will offend you somehow. Please forgive me if I have said something to offend any of you here. But I'm just being me. Honestly, I'm so ignorant of, I can't hide it. You got to begin to stop backbiting among ourselves. We are children of God. We are people of God. And this gossip must end. We have to uproot it from us. It is not of God. And if we remain like that, we cannot go into his presence. The character, we will not maintain God's presence with us. We will not keep his presence with us. Because every time we look at people, oh, my dear sister, you look so nice. You're so pretty. You are so... And then when the person turns themselves, and then you go and, did you see how this sister came to church today? What kind of shoe was that? Eh? What kind of church is this? Look at how she was standing on the pulpit, singing the word of God. Some tight, skin tight jeans and all that. Hello? Why didn't you tell her? Why didn't you just tell her? Don't come to me complaining about people. Be honest with people. My dear sister, I'm telling you in love, I don't intend to hurt you. You can let me know if I'm wrong somewhere. But, you know, doesn't the word of God say we should do this, that, that, that? And the person can say, maybe it would even be an opportunity for you to educate the person about the things of God. The person might, in his own mind, think they are doing the right thing. But that is why God has called us all. That is why God has called us all. A few weeks ago, I had a conversation with a brother. And we finished and I went home. And I sat down and I thought about the conversation. I'm like, you know what? I was actually wrong. Somebody's property is somebody's property. You go and touch somebody's property, you mess up with the person's thing. You get what I'm trying to say? But if I did not take my time to sit down and analyze, or if the brother did not come to me and talk to me about it, I would have been walking around thinking I was okay, I was all right, but he used that moment to educate me. And I have to learn from that. Children of God, be honest in your heart. Stop gossip. Stop biting. It is only for one thing, to destroy us. And Satan will be very good at using it. And you know, the sad thing is, it is not to destroy us only. You will die and end up in hell. People don't like to hear that part. But gossip is not righteous. It cannot dwell in the presence of God. And so, the moment you begin to backbite and gossip and destroy each other, you think you are destroying the sister and the brother. You've destroyed yourself too, because you will not go to heaven. And you do not have the presence of God. And you do not expect God's blessings upon you. As others are increasing and others are making it in life, you alone, people look at you, you always have problems, you always have issues, and you feel that God hates you, God doesn't care. You don't feel the anointing like other people feel. And so you come to church, we are all worshiping. Some of us are up there firing in tongues and the Holy Ghost is moving in our lives. Some of us are lying on the ground, crying and weeping and calling on God, and you are there sitting there. And then when we close and you go, today I didn't even feel God's presence in the church. Obviously, you won't feel the presence in the church because you are full of sin. You carry an evil character. That which God does not like. And so, God can be present here, and because God is so supreme and some miraculously way, God can literally eliminate you from what he's doing in the crowd, that you will be in the crowd and not be sensing him and his blessings. Child of God, this is serious. God's reign reigns on all of us. God's sun shines on all of us. The fact that you enjoy God's food, God's reign, and you enjoy God's sun, and you enjoy certain blessings that he puts on your table in your house, doesn't mean you are okay with God. Do you remember the story of the sower? The man and his servants sowed. In the night, they planted things and then they left and we went to sleep. And then in the morning, his servants came to him and said, Lord, what shall we do? There are weeds that have, somebody has come to spread bad weed among our grains. And so now, what do we do? Should we go and uproot them? Hey, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, no, don't uproot them. Leave them there. Leave the bad with the good. But when the time of harvest comes, then we shall separate the good from the bad. And so look, child of God, you might be in the house of God. You have accepted the Lord Jesus as your Lord, but yet still you are doing your own thing, living your own life. Jesus is calling you and I. Don't forget that. He's telling you and I, as I'm speaking now, he's speaking to you and he's telling you what's your character, what's your attitude. If you do not work on it, on the day of harvest, you will be separated from the good. You will be separated. And so there are many people in the church, because God is not judging us instantly now, and we are living in the days of favor. We are doing everything we want. We're doing what we want to do. Some of us can even go to the extent of insulting. I mean, I can't get it. Insult a pastor, a servant of God, for doing their job, for calling what is sin a sinful thing. And because we think we can leave this church and go somewhere, we are okay. Child of God, be careful. Child of God, be careful. And there are people who will not tell you that you are sinning, because they themselves, they do not know that they are sinning. They are far away from God. There are even pastors who do not know the truth. Who do not know the truth. So please, children of God, don't allow evil to dwell in your heart. Take away gossip. Take away backbiting. Take away unrighteousness from your life. Nor, and he goes ahead and says, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. I think I have touched a lot on this subject. We are brothers and sisters. Let us not begin to do evil things against each other. Yeah? If I do something you don't like, come and talk to me, man. I'm going to take it bad and go home and weep on my wife. My wife will rub my head. I prefer that better than you not saying anything to me and you are working yourself to hell. May God bless us and favor us. This will not be our portion in Jesus' name. It will not be our portion in Jesus' name. And then he goes ahead, 4-5. Jimmy is telling me, baby, what's your time? The time, we got to close and go. Should I make it 1 and 2? All right, let me make it 2. Yeah. Please, I'll finish it tomorrow. Oh, sorry, not tomorrow, on Sunday. I'll finish it on Sunday. Like, I'm not coming here. After you all this plenty talking, I'm not coming here tomorrow for you to talk to me again. No. Please, children of God, the character that God receives. God bless you. Please, let's take some time. You